Well, good morning. Good to see you. As you hear, as you mentioned, we have several visitors, and we're grateful and we're thankful for your presence, and hope you'll come back and be with us each and every opportunity you may have. Gabe, what's your song of encouragement, please?
818.
818. Okay, let's all turn over to 818, and we'll be standing. I fix and say shortly, but I guess that's relative, so I'll just say we'll be standing and sing this hymn. I'm glad to have the opportunity to stand and to talk to you today. In one of the elders' meetings that we had in the last couple of months, one of the decisions that was made was that the elders, that we're going to start doing more preaching. We're going to take advantage of some opportunities, maybe for Scott and myself and Brother Jimmy and Jackie to present a lesson at least once every quarter. It's happened that this particular month that John's preached and Scott's preached, and now I'm preaching, so maybe we're getting a little ahead of the schedule, but anyway, I am grateful for the opportunity to stand and talk with you today. How many of you have heard of the novel Alice in Wonderland? I think most of us have heard about Alice in Wonderland. It's a novel that's been around, for about 150 years. I think it was first published. It came out in the early 1880s, somewhere along that period of time. And if you're familiar with it, you know that it deals with a lady, a young girl, and she's the main character, and her name is Alice. And she is a girl that falls into a rabbit hole and ends up in a fantasy world, which is inhabited by strange creatures. There's the Mad Hatter, the Jabberwock, the Queen of Hearts, and the Cheshire Cat. That was my favorite character in the book, was the cat. And so here we have all these strange creatures that Alice is having to deal with as she's trying to find her way back home. There's a conversation that takes place between Alice and the cat, and it goes like this. Alice says, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go?" And then the cat responded by saying, "Well, that depends a great deal or a good deal on where you want to go." And Alice responded by saying, "I don't much care where." And the cat responds by saying, "Well, then, it doesn't matter which way you walk." You know, there are a lot of people in this world today that they are just walking around aimlessly. They have no direction in life whatsoever. They have no purpose. And they really don't know where they're going. Now you and I, we know where all individuals are going to go because of the faith and the trust that we have in the teaching of God's word. There's only one or two places that we're going to go. And how sad it is that so many individuals are wandering around and have no purpose in life, have no direction whatsoever. And the reason that they're wandering around is because they do not have any real goals in life. I don't care what we're involved in, what we're doing, we need to have goals. If you want to be successful in business, you have to have a goal. If you want to be successful in any activity, you have to have a goal. If you want to be successful in athletics, running as some of our members do, whatever it may be, you've got to have a goal. And ultimately, that goal is to win. Today, we want to look at, just for a few moments, about these individuals that are wandering around aimlessly, lost in the mass stream of humanity because primarily they're just following other individuals. They're just following the crowd, if you would. And these individuals are certainly lost to usefulness in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the reason is they have no goal. In the book of Proverbs, it's been a while since I preached. Let me see if I can get this to work. Oh, there we go. The wise man realized and understood the need and necessity for goals. We see that as he wrote to his young son, that he encouraged his young son to set goals for himself. And not only in Proverbs 4 does he encourage his son to set goals, but also he encourages him to accomplish these goals. So many individuals have goals. They may not be stated nor intentional, but we often set our hearts on specific things. We have goals. The first year rolls around and individuals, they begin to set goals. I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. I'm going to read the Bible through this year. I'm going to be a better employee, whatever it may be. And we set goals, and intentions are good. But after a short period of time, we see that they don't follow through with the goals. They're not successful. Solomon knew the value of goals. In Ecclesiastes 1 in verse 13, he says, I set my mind to know. In Ecclesiastes 1:17, he says, all this I have seen and apply my mind unto every good work under the sun. And so Solomon not only encouraged his son to have goals and to seek to achieve these goals, Solomon himself was an individual that had goals. You know, we need to do what Paul said, and when we look over in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter in verse 2, when he says that we need to set our minds on things above and not on things that are on the earth. In the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, Paul talks about some things that we need to think about, some things that we need to meditate upon. And they're not things of this world. They're not things of this world. They're things that are heavenly. Because if we spend our time focusing on the things of this world, we'll find ourselves involved in the things of this world, and it will have an effect on your life as it develops our character and the virtues that we have. But if we'll focus on those things that are above, those things that are good and true and wholesome and pure, that's going to help to develop the character that we need. As we are individuals that are being transformed, as we're putting off that old man and we're putting on that new man, that we might be in the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need to set our minds on things that are above. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your mind set upon? What are the goals that you have? Are there goals that involve things of this earth? Are they goals that involve things that are spiritual, things that are above? You know, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Why does Jesus tell us to seek and to put his kingdom first? Because we realize in Matthew 6 and verse 21 that Jesus tells us that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so if our heart is seeking after the things of this earth, that's where our treasure is going to be. But if our heart, if our mind is seeking those things that are heavenly, if we're focusing on them, that's where our treasure is going to be. And goals are important to any successful endeavor in life, once again, and especially the goal of establishing our ways in the will of God. Goals provide direction. And here again, each and every one of us, we need direction. Before you build a building, you need a blueprint. Do you realize and know there are individuals who begin to plan to build a building, to start a business, and they will plan and they will work for years and years and years before they ever start building, because they know they need goals to prevent them from going belly up. They know there's more than simply just having a building. And so they don't want to have a building and stand and admire the building but not be able to fulfill the goal that they set. And so they plan and they begin to work. They have direction. They have planning that they're involved in. This is so important because they don't want to go belly up. And you and I today, God provides you and me with direction. And He provides us with a blueprint that we will not go belly up. And this is the blueprint that God has given to you and me, that teaches you and me, that gives you and me the direction that we need in life, that ultimately that heaven can be your home and can be my home. And so God provides us with direction. He's given us His word. Now we need to take that word and read it and study it and apply that direction to your life and to my life. And we see also that goals, that they provide motivation. We need motivation in our life. You know, sometimes our children need motivation. And that's part of our responsibility as parents, is to motivate them in the way that they should go. Sometimes as God's people, we need motivation. We get sort of slack in our service to God. And we need somebody to motivate us. And it's goals that will provide this motivation. When we attempt to work without plans or a goal, our labors become listless, lethargic, and we have nothing for which to strive, no measure of success, and no hope, to sustain us. We need direction. We need motivation. And this is the purpose of goals. With goals, we are motivated to receive the reward of our labor and are motivated to work diligently that we may obtain it. We also see that goals provide focus in our life. And we all need focus. Someone has said, if you aim at nothing, you invariably will hit nothing. And how true that is. But on the other hand, if you know where you want to go and what you want to accomplish, you can focus on the right path that leads to your destination. The gate that Jesus talked about, the gate that is small, and the way that He talked about that is narrow, it will affect every aspect of your life and my life. It will affect where we work. It will affect the recreation that we are involved in. It will affect the music that we listen to. It will affect the material that we spend time in reading, the movies that we see, that we watch. There is no area of life left untouched by our resolve to follow Jesus to heaven. But we must keep our focus. A good friend of mine, Gary Henry, he wrote these words. He said, "Godly goals are greater than any other because God is their object and because God Himself is the help that will carry us where we need to go." Goals provide focus in our life. When we look at the words of Solomon again, In Proverbs 4:25, he said, let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. What he is saying here is keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes upon the goal. Maintain your focus. That is what Solomon is saying. Then the Apostle Peter. When we look in the book of Matthew, we have a wonderful teaching here of Jesus that concerns Matthew. You remember the disciples had been with Jesus, and Jesus had been teaching, and then they get in a boat to go across to the other side. Look with me in Matthew 14, and I want to read just a few verses for you this morning. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. It immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And then when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea and tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Well, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and called him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You know, here we see the Apostle Peter. As he sees Jesus, and Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And Jesus says, come. And without hesitation, Peter steps out of the boat, and he begins to walk to Jesus. But then something happens. He begins to look around. He begins to see the waves, and he begins to see to feel the wind as it's blowing and everything. And he takes his focus off of the Lord, and he begins to sink. We must maintain our focus. And if we are individuals that have goals, if we are individuals that as we set these goals, they will give us direction and motivation, and they will help us keep our focus on the Lord, that ultimately heaven can be our home. There's an individual, this is a true story, I may have shared it with you one time before. There was an individual named Matthew Emmons, and he was born in 1981, and he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest shooter in the history of American shooting. Across his 23-year career, he participated many times in the Olympics. He won 4 medals, including numerous titles, 3 medals, including a gold, a silver, and a bronze in the Olympics, and then he won a gold and a bronze medal at the World's Championship. Here was an individual that is a shooter. Here's an individual that knows what to do. And those of you that have spent any time in shooting, you know there's one thing that you have to have. You have to have focus. You got to keep your eye on the target. If you're out hunting squirrel, you can't be looking around, looking all over. Or if there's a big doe or buck standing out here and you want to shoot that buck, you can't be looking around everywhere else. You've got to keep your focus on that squirrel. You've got to keep your focus on that deer. And even though he is known because of the time he spent in the Olympics and the gold medals that he won in the Olympics and in the World Championship, he's perhaps better known for the medal he did not win in the Olympics. Now you might say, how could that be possible? How could an individual that he won gold in the Olympics and a bronze and a silver and a gold in the World Championship, all this that he has accomplished, how would he be better known by something that he did not do? Well, in the city of Athens on Sunday, August the 22nd, 2004, at the 2004 Summer Olympics, Matt Emmons competed in the three-position event. Now, in this particular event, individuals shoot from their stomach, from their knees, and from their feet at a target that's about 50 meters away, which is about 164 feet. Going into the last round, he was going to shoot one more time, and he was ahead of all the other shooters. He didn't need a bullseye. He didn't need to hit at the edge of the bullseye. He didn't need to hit 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 inches from the bullseye. All he needed to do to win the gold was hit the target. That's all he had to do. Well, disaster struck. Instead of aiming at his target, he lost his focus, and he fired at another competitor's target one lane over by mistake. And the error sent the marksman from a first-place gold medal to last. He received no score at all, and he did not receive a medal. He finished eighth. Why? Because he lost his focus. You know, sometimes of us that are older in the faith, and we've been serving the Lord for a long time, and we need to learn a lesson here. Here was an individual that had been doing this for a long time, and all the things that he accomplished, and yet he lost his focus. And so those of us who are older in the faith, and those of us who have been year after year seeking and striving to serve our Lord and to keep our focus, here's a warning for you and me. We need to keep our focus until we're called home. And those of us that are younger and middle-aged, we need to learn a lesson as well, that we need to keep our focus at all times in our life. Well, he was interviewed after this event, and here is his response. He responded to the crossfire by saying, "I usually always look through the scope at the number above the target first, and then I drop down to the target itself." He said, "I have never had a crossfire in international competition nor elsewhere in at least 6 years. On the last shot, I didn't look at the target. I didn't look at the number first, who earlier that day had received a gold." Well, actually, it was on Friday. He had received a gold. He said, "I was just working on calming myself down and getting a good shot off. He said, "I should have looked. I should have focused." You know, he lost the gold medal. But if we don't keep our focus on Jesus, we're going to lose more than a gold medal. We're going to lose something that's more valuable than gold, and that is our soul. We need to be individuals who are constantly keeping our godly goals in front of us. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I implore you, I beg you, resolve that you're going to maintain your focus. Whether you're young or whether you're middle-aged or whether you're old, that you may succeed, that you may ultimately receive that crown of gold. If heaven is to be our home, we have got to be individuals that have goals. We have got to be individuals that have direction. We've got to be individuals that have motivation, and we've got to be individuals that maintain our focus at all times. There are so many distractions in this old world that we deal with day in and day out. And it's easy to lose our direction. It's easy for us to lose our focus. May we not do that. May we resolve that we're going to maintain our focus, that we are going to succeed, and heaven is going to be ultimately our home one day. I hope we'll think about this short lesson. I hope and pray that you'll look at your life, and particularly if you're not a Christian, what is your goal in life? You know, the wise man, he said, "Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole of man." That's what we need to be focused on. That's what you need to be focused on. And God has given us the motivation. He sent his son to live and to die on that cross that we might be saved from our sins. He's given us focus. He's given us his word that we can read and study and that we can meditate upon that will lead us to heaven itself. And so if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, whatever your goal may have been, it is not one that is sufficient. It is not one that ultimately is going to lead you to heaven. We hope that you'll have a desire that your goal will be to go to heaven, to be a child of God. And you'll let God's word motivate you and lead you and provide the focus that you need that you may be saved. If you're here today, you're not a child of God, why don't you repent of your sins? Jesus says, "Nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish," in Luke 13 and verse 3. Why not come, confessing your faith in Jesus? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. The same confession that the eunuch made when he'd heard the lesson from the evangelist Philip. And he said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" If you believe, that you may. And he said he believed Jesus to be the Christ. Do you believe Jesus to be the Christ? You believe he's the Son of God? Why don't you act on that faith? Why don't you act and do what the Lord asks you to do? And begin your life with the goal of going to heaven. Allow God's word to provide the direction and to help keep you focused that ultimately heaven can be your home. Maybe you're here this morning, you've lost your focus as a child of God. You need to regain that focus. Maybe there are things that you've said and done of a public nature. You need to confess those publicly. Let us pray with you and for you. Maybe there are things that you've done in secret that only you and God are aware of. You need to go to God in prayer and ask him to forgive you that and to give you back your focus that heaven can be your home. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this hymn that's been selected by Gabe, and if you're something towards an invitation anyway.